Hello, my name is Mark Lancaster, moderator for Foundation for Living. I have my guest in the studio today, the Reverend Dr. Neil Carlson, founder of Foundation for Living back in 1972, and then subsequently the church In the Sun. Sun is spelled S-O-N, meaning Jesus, not S-U-N, the sun. Because I am told the sun in the sky never sets on, the church in the sun equals Jesus. My other guest is the Reverend Rick Fraga. Today, we will be dialoguing on the subject, the three baptism, part one we did earlier. So when I was told three baptisms, it perked my curiosity. So gentlemen, let's expand more on this because you've already done part one, and let's do part two and tell us what the deal is and talk to our audience. Thank you.
We're happy to be back. Good to see you, Rick. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. Nice to see you. How are you doing?
Fine. Well, last week we discussed about being baptized in the Christ, in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to talk about
being baptized in water.
That's right. So I want to, we'll just sort of look at it this way for you who are listening. The what, the why, the when, the how, and the where will probably give us a direction as to how we can approach this subject of being baptized in the water. And so I guess it all backs up to this word being baptized. So it's got a historical meaning, doesn't it, Rick?
Yeah, I looked up the word baptism and the root word and where it came from and stuff actually last night and this morning. And it comes from the root word of bapto, which means to dip.
Okay.
And then the nouns in the Bible that they're talking about, they use the Greek word. It's all Greek. It's a baptisma. And baptisma is the process of immersion, submersion, and emergence.
Okay,
it says.
I got you.
And so into something, into a liquid form.
Right.
But here's what's really cool is I got to reading this morning.
Okay.
Is the word baptizo, okay, which the Greeks used that word. And they commonly use that word. I just thought this was interesting. I just wanted to bring this up today.
Yeah.
But it's a baptizo, and what the Greeks, they used to signify this word as the dyeing of a garment.
Wow.
So what they would do is they would get like an old garment, like, you know, like a ratty garment or something.
Right.
And they would actually, they'd dip it in into the dye, and it'd come up new.
That's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
so it'd
beautiful.
Come up like a new garment.
That's
so
great, man.
So yeah, with, you know, more a new purpose, and you know, it went from the bottom ground to the front of the closet, you
and,
know.
And that's beautiful. That's the overlay of what baptizing is all about, right?
Amen.
I love that. Wow. So Jesus was baptized, and now we got the root meaning of that word baptized. In fact, in Matthew 3, I think it is in verse 16, is what we read. Jesus went up out of the water. And so it seems to put in concrete that his baptism was by immersion.
Mm-hmm.
If he came up out of the water. Of course, there are other ways of which we will look at later. But the point is, Jesus was baptized, and we're going to follow through with that. But right now we're talking about what baptizing is all about, and you beautifully express that with that picture that's really great. So
yeah, I thought that was awesome.
So and following through with that word baptizing, in 1 Peter 3 it says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, which goes back to what you were talking about, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I guess that's, Rick, wouldn't you say that's just what baptism is all about then?
Yeah, that's what baptism is all about. It's washing yourself clean, you know, and coming up brand new, you know. And we talked about that last part, you know, and being baptized in Christ. And I think now it's following through with the, you had the inwardly, now you're following through with the outwardly.
And that's the outward profession of faith, which we'll get to later in this segment. But do you recall a scripture in Titus?
Yes, Titus 3:5.
Okay.
Said he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
Yes, yes.
He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. See,
beautiful,
so it's the washing from the Holy Spirit, you know, coming out new. It's
and
awesome.
And it goes back to the illustration that you used earlier, you know, about the garment.
Yeah, I love
it. It just fits right in. So that's what baptism is all about. Okay, let's progress just a little bit to the next segment. Why? What's the big deal? What's the big deal, Rick? Why would we even consider being baptized?
Well, I think, like I said, I think it's an internal thing. But then, and we said last week, we said the ABCs and how it's a command to confess, right?
Yes.
To confess with your mouth. And I think it's a public declaration, a confession, you know, to go through with it. Wouldn't you say, wouldn't you say that's
well, yeah, why? Because in Matthew, this guy Matthew stated, and we read in what he wrote, I think it's back in probably Matthew 28, it says that Jesus said, go and make followers of all people in all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in a nutshell, why we get baptized, Rick? Well, it's in one, like you just said, it's a command. It's a command. And two, you also said it it demonstrates. It demonstrates what's happening. So that's beautiful as to why we are baptized. That's so important.
So do you think that say I just listened to our podcast last week, our part one.
All right.
And I just confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I felt that baptizing inside, right?
Cool.
So I guess the question is it relevant? Should I just then go and run out and get baptized? Like should I run out and jump in the water, you know, from there or for the listeners, when would be like the appropriate time? Like,
when you're ready.
Yeah. When you're ready. Well, because I know a lot of people, and which is fine. A lot of denominations they baptize babies at an early age.
That's a good point. That's a good point to bring out. I'm glad you brought that out.
So, for you, since you have the authority on. He's Mr. Baptize. Dr. Neil's Mr. Baptizing Machine.
Yes, he is.
I want to ask you when do you get baptized?
Okay, let me pick up on one of the words that you said about infants. There is a procedure in many of our denominations where children are baptized, and obviously those kids do not know what they are doing. But their parents are doing it for them. Okay, but at the age of accountability, which is a phrase that we use, meaning when a person knows what is right and wrong, then they know how to accept Jesus.
Right.
So when people are baptized as infants, I don't have any qualms with that, because in some of the situations of which I'm personally aware, those people then later, at an age later, were able to identify with what they were doing, and then that pastor led them into what it meant. So I don't personally baptize kids, but I dedicate kids. And that's one of the beautiful things I like to do, dedicate children. But baptizing is preaching is my passion, but I love it. I love to baptize. So back to what we were saying.
Right. So in other words, it's okay. Like I don't have any problems with kids. You don't have any problems with children being baptized or their parents going through with it. But it's more of a declaration, saying in front of the church, saying, "Hey, I'm going to dedicate my child right. to Jesus, and I'm going to dedicate my child to the church, and I want you guys."
I was baptized when I was 9 with sprinkled water, so went yeah. the same thing.
There's nothing wrong with it. Did you get baptized? Was that you got baptized once, or did you get baptized again?
Once.
It was one time at
night. At a Methodist church.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll hit that later
awesome.
On.
Awesome.
Okay, so the age is really important. But the important thing is what you do at that particular age, and that is to accept Jesus, and then of course to get baptized.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question. Then.
Go ahead.
Because you said that you were baptized at 9, by a sprinkle. Okay, mm-hmm. I know people like I have my beliefs in everything. You're the baptizing machine. So so my question is I know people get, how many times can you get baptized? Is it okay to get baptized more than one time?
A great question, because people have come to me, and recently too, they were baptized at an early age, they knew what they were doing, but now as an adult, mm-hmm. they have progressed in their knowledge of the Lord, mm-hmm. and so they've decided they would like to be baptized again. And they said, "Pastor Neil, is that okay?" And I've said, "Certainly it's okay," mm-hmm. because there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, I have rebaptized people, because now they are at a position in their life when they know more fully what they did not know many years earlier. So to answer your question, Pastor Rick, yes, you can be baptized again. In fact, let me tell you once, I got baptized again by mistake. Let me tell you about that one, okay?
Okay. Sounds interesting.
I'm 19 years old. I had my very first church, a little country church, and in front of the church was a gravel road, and then there was a levee, and then there was the river. Mm-hmm. And so we went down to the river, and to be baptized is a song like that.
But you don't have to sing.
You can sing if you want to. Anyway, so it turns out that we had several candidates that were all lined up, and these candidates came to me, Rick, to be baptized. Uh-huh. But there was one guy, he was really a big guy, at the very end of the line. And so I told him, "I will go to you. I'll walk to you. You just stay where you are." Mm-hmm. Okay, that was my mistake. Because little did I know that while he was standing there, he was slowly sinking deep into the sand.
Oh,
into several inches. So I walked over to him, and I did what I usually do. And then when I got ready to baptize him, I realized that I too had been sinking a little bit. Sinking sand. And well, that's another song. Okay. And so as I baptized him, I found myself baptizing myself. Uh-huh. And so we both went under. And the people did just what you're doing here in the studio. They laughed and they laughed and they laughed. And I was beet red and frustrated. Uh-huh. Anyway, so rebaptized. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that, because I had gone down to the river and I've been baptized. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Because I've ran into people that have been baptized more than once, you know, and that's okay. And I believe that's okay. You know, I know people that have had new revelation or whatever,
yes,
and said,
yes,
you know, "Yeah, I got baptized, but I wasn't really feeling it. But now it's like, I really feel that rebirthing,
yes,
and I really
yes,
find
yes,
it.
Yes,
and
yes.
I go for it, man. Get
right.
baptized every
well,
day.
Well, I love that. And I had baptized, of course, a lot of people. Not many, but there have been a few that have come to me and wanted to do that.
So I also want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Mark said that he had been baptized at 9 with a sprinkle.
Okay.
Okay. So what are the different ways that somebody can be baptized?
That's a good question. And I think you might know the answer. They are three. There's always three.
Yes.
And of course, one would be sprinkling. And the other would be pouring, and the other would be by immersing, and I've done all three.
Okay.
And that's very important, and they all are valid, but ask me why I like the baptizing in water.
Why do you like the baptizing in water?
Oh, you're so nosy. Okay, here's why I like baptizing in water, Rick, because it portrays better the picture of being buried
Yes.
Being raised
yes.
to walk in a newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like that. But however, I have done a poor job. Oh, that's funny play on words.
You've done poor jobs before?
I've done a poor job. I've done a poor job. A very dear friend of mine, quadriplegic for many, many years, wanted to be baptized.
Mm.
And so I was very happy to baptize him. So my plan
uh-huh.
was to have him be ushered into the baptistry, which is another subject about the baptistry, why we have a baptistry, and put him in a chair and just let the chair go back and bring him up. But we couldn't get him out of the wheelchair. So what we did,
right.
this was my poor job, crazy play on words. So we went to the social hall and we covered his wheelchair with all the electronic equipment. Yes, thank you. And then I did a poor job. So I took water,
uh-huh.
and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
I poured water on him.
Like with a pitcher or something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. we've got the sprinkling job, which incidentally I did 24 hours ago, believe it or not. Let me tell you about that.
You did a sprinkle job.
Yes, I'll tell
yesterday.
You in a minute. But right now we're doing the poor job. People said, as they took pictures of this happening, that more water came out of his face in weeping over the situation
oh.
and the experience
oh. yeah.
that I poured upon him. It was beautiful.
Good weeping,
so,
right?
Yes. So
yeah.
I did.
Awesome.
I did that poor job. But then my sprinkling 24 hours ago.
Good pour.
Tell me, you want to tell me about my sprinkle job?
No, I want you to tell me about your sprinkle job.
Okay, 24 hours ago, as we speak.
24 hours ago.
Okay, so this lady called me last week and said, Pastor Neil, I am applying for this position, and they want three things. They want my driver's license.
Okay.
They want my birth certificate. And Rick, they want my baptismal certificate.
Okay.
And I said, what?
Interesting.
And she replied, that's right, interesting. Okay, so she contacted the church that she was baptized in many, many years ago. The church is no longer existing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she said to me, would you baptize me?
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, sure, I'll baptize you. And in my filing system, I have some baptizing certificates that I could pull out, which I did. I said, well, set up a time, and I'll do a sprinkle job on you. So I went to her patio
mm-hmm.
yesterday as we did the recording, mm-hmm. and I brought the water. But as I got ready to make my trip from where I live to where she lives, 35 minutes, I got to thinking, where am I going to get this water?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do when I get there? Take water out of a tap into a cup and use that water to sprinkle?
Uh-huh.
And then I had this God thought, Rick, and asked me what the God thought was.
What was the God thought?
I'll tell you. The God thought was this. Neil, in your guest bedroom, there is some water from the River Jordan.
Yay.
The River
of Jordan, right,
yes.
right.
Yes. So Nancy and I were there many, many, many years ago. Did I say many? Yes, many years ago. And we wanted to collect this water, so we had no containers. And so Nancy emptied out water from a shampoo bottle.
Mm-hmm.
We cleaned that out. We filled it full of the water from the River
Very
Jordan.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
We sealed it up good. It has never been opened, and years have gone by.
Oh,
we're talking 40, 50
wow.
years have gone by,
Whoa.
More than that. I would say, we're pushing 60 years. No, couldn't be that. Anyway, regardless, it's never been opened, but the water has diminished in size
right.
because of the ultraviolet.
Evaporation.
Yes,
right,
evaporation,
right.
ultraviolet light hitting it. So it's gone down to about one third. So yesterday, I opened it up and very carefully, I poured that water into a little tiny beaker,
mm-hmm.
a little vial.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I could go there, I could baptize her with water from the River Jordan.
That is awesome.
She was
that
stoked.
Is awesome.
I was excited. And we had a witness there to sign the certificate. And And so I sprinkled her once, twice, three times,
dear lady.
Because that's the name of the Father and Son. Right. And the reason I did that is because years ago, when I was pastoring the community church in King City, we had a man in the church who was a former Lutheran pastor, and his he was a school teacher at the time at the high school. His daughter got saved in the church. He wanted her to be baptized, but in their traditional mode, it was by sprinkling. He asked me if I would sprinkle her. I said, sure. But then when the time came, I got to thinking, how do you do that? I've never done a sprinkle job. So they gave me this container of water, and so I sprinkled her. That's not got to be enough. That's not good enough. So I did it twice. Oh, now I got it. Thank you. So then I did it three times, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Cool. So that was my first sprinkle job, and then...
So it was divine. It was a divine interjection. Yeah. God just intervened.
So we got those three modes. We got the sprinkling, we got the pouring, and we got the immersion. And so those would be how we do it. And that's the important thing.
So did you did this, you went to her home then?
Yes, yesterday I went to her home.
So that leads me to another question.
Okay, shoot.
I'm just going to keep shooting all these questions at you.
Okay, well, I got my body armor on. I'm supposed to put the armor of Christ on, so the bullets are going to ricochet right off.
Yeah. Well, you've baptized about probably hundreds of times more people than I have, so I just want to give you the reins on this.
Okay, go. Go.
And you have a couple years of experience.
My father says.
I love you. So
when did that happen?
So
I pay you well to say that.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes. $5.
I thought it was $10, but go ahead.
You didn't have change.
Too much fun. So you baptized her in her home. I think a lot of denominations out there as well can be pretty religious about baptizing in the church, you know, in commode. So where can we baptize? Well, for the audience out there, they want to know, where can we baptize people?
Okay, if they were living several thousand centuries ago, churches had what they called a baptistry. And now we're familiar with the baptistry in our churches. But years ago, the baptistry was a separate little building-like where people could be baptized. Mm-hmm. But in the course of time, the baptistry was moved into the church, where many churches have the baptistry behind the altar, and there where people can see the person being baptized. And the beautiful thing about the baptistry in the church is that in most of the churches that I have experienced, there's a plate glass that shows the level of the water,
if I'm trying
to explain myself, so that when the body is put down, you can see the body that has actually been buried.
Like on a stage behind glass or something,
like
you can
in
see
a big,
through.
Big fish aquarium.
Yeah, that's cool.
May I chase one rabbit, Rick?
Just as long as you get it.
I like it. Here it is. I was pastor of the Beverly Hills Baptist Church in Detroit for a few years, and we had a baptistry there. We had that water, and you could see. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but anyway, it's been recorded. And so the organ was right underneath the baptistry. And all my candidates are always told to hold themselves, hold their hands together on their chest, and then I would hold their nose and put them under. And they're just supposed to hold themselves together by their hands. However, this one guy was not very responsive in following instructions, and so he flew his arms out as I put him down, and the water gushed over the glass in the baptistry and went over on the organ. And that was my rabbit I'm going to chase
that
way. Okay, so baptistries have been moved into the church. In fact, even now, in the church where I am attending, there is a baptistry, but it doesn't have the picture that I've painted. It's in the floor behind the pulpit.
Right.
And so to baptize in the church in that particular situation, they have to remove the carpet. They have to lift up the protective boards, and then they fill the board. That is why living on the Central Coast in California, USA, for you who are listening internationally, I love to use the water in the ocean.
Yeah, that, and we're short of water in California, so.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that's a big point. I never thought of that. Sorry, we're going to have to baptize you in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't slap the water in it.
Yeah. I've even seen, like, horse troughs as baptistries and stuff, you know, in the new church, you know. Well, they're new. The horses didn't use them.
Okay, in my guest bedroom, there's a picture showing pictures where I baptize people. But at the bottom, there's this printing. It says, "If you kneel, my name. If there is water, you can baptize."
Right. So you can baptize anywhere. So that being said, the baptizing machine that you are, what are some of the places that you've baptized? Because we're talking about where.
Where?
Anywhere,
yeah, we're talking
right?
about where.
Anywhere.
Wow.
I'd like you to tell a story about the mountains, about baptizing in the cold.
Oh, you're talking about snow.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard that story too. That's going around the world. Oh, and I got nailed on that one, buddy. Let me tell you. We were at a snow camp in Northern California, USA. And it turned out that a lot of people young kids got saved, 25 or 30 of them, and they all wanted to get baptized. But it was in the wintertime, and the swimming pool, of course, was covered, rolled over with the tarp. They couldn't be baptized in the water, so we just let it go. But on the way back to our place, the counselor that was with me said, we got to baptize these kids. They want to be baptized now. And of course, that's important, but sometimes people want their parents to watch, and that's another story.
Right.
However, as we were walking back to our camp, my friend said, "Neil, what is snow but
water?"
Smart guy. Duh. And so
that
I said,
so
"Let's
cool.
do it." So the next day, what we did, Rick.
That is so
we,
cool that
we,
you
we
had
put
to baptize
a wooden himself. Cross up on the mountainside, and we let the kids come forth, and we buried them in the snow.
Wow.
That's so
completely
cool.
covered up in snow.
That is
and
so cool.
And they were told, hold your breath. Now, this is a burial. You're buried in Christ Jesus.
Good
so they were told to be buried and stay buried. As long as you can.
Oh, that's cool.
And then, of course, when you got to breathe, you come up. There was one guy that could hold his breath. He could hold his breath 90 seconds or longer. And so we were waiting, and we were waiting, and we were waiting, and we got closer. Some of us got closer and closer to him. His body's all covered up. He's been buried in water. Finally, he burst open.
You're like, is this guy okay?
Snow went everywhere. Pictures were taken.
Yes.
But it was
awesome.
A beautiful picture of the resurrection that
wow.
he was experiencing.
Awesome.
Well,
awesome.
it doesn't enter there. So I wrote an article to a major magazine, got $15 for the article. But then I got nailed from my colleagues.
You got nailed from
two
your
or
colleagues?
Three. Yeah. A couple of the guys said, "Neil, you can't do that."
You're like, "But I did."
That's what I told him. I did.
I think that's awesome.
I did.
Breaking through a shell.
That's exactly right.
That's awesome.
So
I got
15 bucks,
totally.
And then I got nailed. But anyway,
that's awesome.
The where. And
so
then,
where else have you baptized?
Well, now that you mention
that's like the coolest story ever. I don't know if you're going to top
cool.
that.
That's a play on words. Cool.
Yeah,
cold.
It's so cool that you couldn't do it in water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it in the snow.
Well, yeah, I've done them in jacuzzis.
Yeah, cool.
I've done them in rivers. I've done them in lakes. I've done them in swimming pools. And other places. I have this picture in my office showing these very. Let me tell you this one.
Bathtubs, of course.
How'd you know that?
I just guessed. It must have been someplace other than California, because we have a water shortage here.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, our MC had nailed me. Yes, there was. There is a picture of a bathtub in a hospital, and there was this little old lady up in the years who had not much time left on this planet.
Yes,
and she wanted to get baptized, Rick.
Oh, nice.
And so I baptized her. So here's what we did: we let her and bear in mind, it's a big tub, but she's a very little lady. So we let her lay in this tub, Rick. And so I did what I did. Upon your public profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, blah, blah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, while I'm doing that, some of the doctors and nurses are coming around, and they were peeking in. What's Pastor doing in that bathroom with that lady? and they saw me baptizing her, and it was really hard to get all the water over her, but I was getting the water over her. So yes, I did baptize in a bathtub
in the hospital.
In the hospital, thanks.
Cool.
That's cool.
That is so cool. So that kind of reminds me of the scripture of the eunuch, you know.
Talk to me about that.
He said, it, you know, if there's water, you can baptize. So
yes.
Baptize me, you know. Yeah. And we took him down to the creek, you know, and just right there.
Well, that's what the Bible says in Acts. I forgot exactly where it is, but I can try to think really hard. I think it was in Acts chapter 8, where it says, it's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian, and the kind of a guy he was a...
eunuch?
Yes. Well, here's the story. Oh, boy, let me tell you this one, Rick.
Like from the country?
Yeah, from Ethiopia.
From Ethiopia.
Okay, so in those days, I had 5 different sermons to prepare every week. And so I was going up to my mountain cabin to do a lot of preparation. It was a snowy day. I'm driving very slowly. And I see this guy walking along the roadside. And he's reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, this was weird. And instantly it flashed in my mind the story of the Ethiopian guy. Now, he's in a chariot reading the Bible, Rick. Mm-hmm. And Philip is walking. Now here, this guy is walking, and I'm in the chariot reading. So I stopped my car, and he got into my chariot. Now in the Bible story, it says that Philip was invited to go into the chariot. And the Ethiopian said, I don't understand what I'm reading in Isaiah. Explain it to me. Mm-hmm. And so Philip did this, right. Talk about baptizing. And then the Ethiopian said, hey, there's water. What hinders me to get baptized? And so the scripture says that the chariot was stopped and Philip baptized the eunuch. Now here, the story does not end, Rick, and ask me why.
Why does the story not end?
Because this guy, when I told him the story, told me, and you've probably have guessed it, Rick, he was a...
Ethiopian.
But he was a...
eunuch.
Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
It's worse than that.
That is crazy.
I said,
that's awesome.
Say that again?
That is awesome.
He said, well, you told me that story about the Ethiopian and the eunuch, and he said, he knew I was a pastor, and he said, would you believe that I am a eunuch?
That's awesome.
Yes. Anyway, that's my story about baptizing.
And then you baptized him in the creek.
Well, okay. there was water. You don't know about the story, how it ended. We stopped the car. He got out, and I said, oh, Jesus, don't let him ask me to baptize him in this cold water. But he did not. He got out of the car, and he said, goodbye. I said, what do you mean? He said, you go on. I'm going to go on. Well, where are you going, buddy? I'm going to paradise.
Wow.
And he asked me to drive on without baptizing him.
Wow, wow, wow.
Anyway, that's my story. That's
very
my story.
Cool story.
We're talking about...
That was in Acts 8, too.
Acts 8, yeah.
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 I was reading the whole thing.
So we're talking about where, and we've hit a lot of those places.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. We've already said bathtub, the lake, the river, the jacuzzi.
So if the commandment is for us to go out and baptize, right? And to be baptized.
Right.
And we can baptize anywhere that there is water. We could be baptized anywhere there's water. I think a lot of things are, I've noticed a lot in people who've just professed their faith, who've just come into the church, you know, and made Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, I've noticed a lot of people be hesitant about being baptized. Have you noticed
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah, of course.
Like people being hesitant and
they're intimidated.
I just want to talk a little bit about that because in our first part of our message, if somebody's listening to that podcast, I just wanted to address that because a lot of people get hesitant about being baptized
in public.
Correct. So I just wanted to ask you about that, if you've ever experienced that with people.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people. Of course, if you're young,
and
you have no problem.
And what can you say to them?
And if you're older, you have no problem. But there's that gap in there where people are intimidated. They're self-conscious. They just don't want to go in public and have that happen. What happens
right.
if the robe comes off, or if in the ocean the baby sick? What's going to happen? And so people are hesitant to do that.
I think it's fear. You know, I think a lot of people, some people are afraid of water.
And oh, that's another one.
It might be fear of committing too.
Totally. That's another one. Yeah.
Even though as sad as that may sound, because they're almost getting ready to be.
You know what? I have a confession to make. When I got saved, I was a little gun shy on getting baptized, right? For two reasons. I was fearful of, you know, being on display in front of all that people, like marriage, you know. I was afraid of prophesying my marriage in front of everybody.
Right.
To my
right,
wife.
Right.
But also, I think I was afraid of being baptized in front of all my loved ones, in front of all these people. And then, like, oh my gosh, what happens if I backslide? Or what,
I think that's the biggest part of the fear.
It's like, what happens if I make this commitment and I mess up and I blow it, in a month or so? And I just want to say right now, if that's you and you're listening right now, the Bible says for us not to live in fear.
Right.
You know, we're not supposed to live in fear. If you just make that step of faith, if you just make that leap of faith, God will provide and He'll be there for you and He'll see you through it, you know.
That's right.
Every step of the way.
That's right.
You know, and it's almost like an anointing, you know, like when you step out in faith, when you take that step, God gives you another level of anointing.
That's exactly
and then
right.
You, and
right.
then you, and
That's
then you,
exactly
and then
right.
you do another step of faith, and God gives you another level of anointing and another level of boldness and courage.
And wisdom and courage.
Wisdom and courage and all that, you know. Like I said, I was afraid of public. I was afraid of doing that in front of all those people. And now I preach in front of people. Now
yes,
I preach. I can preach in front of hundreds of people. And
yeah, right.
and see, so God has given me that anointing, and He's provided that next step. You know.
Yeah.
But
get out there and do it. Just do it. Like Nike says, just do it. You know?
But there are people who are afraid to do it in public, and that's why I always say, upon your public profession of faith.
Yes.
And so this guy came to me a number of years ago, and he said, I want to get baptized. I said, well, fine. And I knew he was saved. So he said, Pastor, I want you to baptize me, because we had water in the baptistry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I can't do that. Why not? He got pretty upset with me. I said, because it's a public profession of your faith, and there's nobody there to witness it. I said, I can't baptize you. It'd just be you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So... he got a little upset. I said, no, but I tell you, I will baptize you if you let me invite a couple of people, just maybe two people to come.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed to that. So we had four or five. But the point, he understood, it's a public profession of faith. But if there's nobody there to publicly profess, then there's no one to hear and to see what's being done.
Right.
And so I did... win that battle by letting him baptize.
Right, right. That's good.
So, yeah, like you say, but people are reluctant. He did not want anybody to see him.
Yeah.
And I explained to him that that I understand. But what you said is so important. Right?
Yeah, I see it kind of like as a marriage thing, you know?
That's
like,
true.
Like I kind of brought that up a little bit ago, but it's like when I got married to my wife, I was afraid of that commitment. I mean, I think that's natural to be like that, you know?
It's natural.
Yeah, yeah, and I went through with it, mm-hmm. you know, and I made that commitment. But I was more afraid of all the people, you know, being there. And I was afraid of failing and
yeah.
And those people, you know, and those people are actually there for accountability. But those people are, all those loved ones are actually there for you, to be in your corner.
That's what church is all about.
For your spiritual walk.
Yes,
for
exactly.
The marriage that you're professing with God. Mm-hmm. Like you've become his wife, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's there for you, rooting you on. That's what that's about.
They're all so happy that you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really good. So to wrap all this up about baptizing, first baptizing in Christ.
Yes.
Now baptizing in water.
Yes.
We looked at the how, why, where, when, and all that. So very important.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rick, would you lead a listener, perhaps,
sure.
into a prayer
sure.
that would encourage them not only to accept Jesus as their Savior, but lead them into a prayer to follow through with a public declaration of this, because like we mentioned earlier, Rick, it is a command.
Sure,
Jesus said, go and baptize.
Sure.
And so that's our prayer for that very special listener right now, somewhere
yes.
on the planet, listening.
Yes, Lord.
Rick, lead him in that prayer, would you
yes,
please?
Yes, Lord. Well, first of all, before I do that, I want to read this scripture because I think it's very important with what we're talking about. It's 1 Peter 3:21. It says, and this water symbolizes baptism. So really it's the being baptized inside, you know, and getting that connection with the Lord. And it's a symbolizing of the baptism.
Yes.
It says, water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. And it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So I just want to pray that with you right now.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you for the people listening. I thank you that for the internal baptizing that you are doing inside of them right
yes.
now, Lord God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I thank you for that in Jesus' name, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for a special boldness.
Yes.
On any listener right now that has not been baptized.
Yes.
I pray for that boldness that they can go through with it, Lord, and make a public declaration
yes.
of their love
yes.
for
yes.
you,
yes.
God.
Yes. Yes.
And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you will continue to change us, Lord, to look more like you in your image.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for a special anointing. I pray for favor and blessing on this listener who's listening right now.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, thank you. Well, Rick, thank you for dialoguing with me. We've had part one about being baptized in Christ, now being baptized in water. And so we got a third part coming up. If they're listening, want to hang around a little bit longer.
Yeah,
to be
baptized
in the Holy Ghost,
yeah.
in the Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
So God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.